In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Oh yes, God is still on his throne, and he hears and answers your prayer. God is so good. He's having a good day today. You say, but I'm so miserable. Then you come to Jesus, and he has to change you by grace. We cannot even change ourselves. That's real. We need the grace of God to be changed. You know what I say? I catch the fish, and God cleans the fish. I can't clean anybody. It's up to the Lord to do the cleaning through the power of the Holy Spirit. What about you today? Where are you? Are you in love with Jesus? Do you love him with all your heart? Are you serving him today? Where are you today? Are you like Adam? Well, God says, Adam, where are you? He wasn't looking for a geographical place. He was looking for the heart of Adam who had sinned against the Lord. But you see, the cross is our salvation. Today I'm going to be looking at the cross and the resurrection. And I want you to know that Paul said, I decided to know nothing among you but the cross of Jesus Christ, where I have been crucified to the world and the world to me. I'm looking at Matthew 26, verse 69. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. Remember, he said, I will never betray you. A servant girl came to him and said, you also were with Jesus the Galilean. But Peter denied it before all of them, saying, I do not know what you are talking about. He said, Lord, I'll even die with you. But you see what? He's weak. He's weak. And you know what? I can't make fun of Peter because I know how weak I am. But I have to believe what God says. When I'm most weak, then I'm most strong. When he went out to the porch, another servant girl saw Peter, and she said to the bystanders, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. Again, he denied it with an oath, I do not know the man. After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, certainly you are the one of them, for your accent betrays you. You speak like a Galilean. Then he began to curse, and he swore an oath, I do not know the man. At that moment, the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Oh, how we need to weep for the sins of our lives and the sins of people. Oh, yes, yesterday we celebrated the feast of Monica, who prayed for Augustine. He was a reprobate. He had a love child, wasn't married. And Monica wept for Augustine. And God saw the tears of Monica and converted Augustine. Oh, yes, we need to cry for people, call out for people, that people that are lost, we need to pray for the people that are now talking about being transgendered. How sad. The whole world has gone nuts. And you know what? Not very many people talk about it. The whole world has gone out of its mind. Chapter 27 of Matthew. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus in order to bring him to the death. Why? Because they're jealous of him. They're jealous of him. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas the betrayer saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. He said, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. But they said, what is that to us? See to it yourself. Throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself. But the chief priests, taking the pieces of silver, said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since they are blood money. After conferring together, they used them to buy Potter's Field as a place to bury foreigners. Poor Judas. He could have said to the Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry what I've done. But he lost faith. He hanged himself. Oh, yes, maybe you today are suicidal. Please, trust in the Lord. It's going to pass. Whatever you're going through is going to pass. For this reason, that field has been called Field of Blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of one on whom a price had been set, on whom some of the people of Israel set a price, and they gave them to Potter's Field, as the Lord commanded me. When I talk about the Bible, when Jeremiah says something about Potter's Field, it's going to come about by every T that's crossed and every I that's dotted. God will do what he promised in the Old Testament in the New. I have often said Genesis to Revelation says Jesus Christ is Lord. We just need to know and have people preach to us about the blessed hope that we have in the cross and resurrection of Jesus. Verse 11, now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus said, you say so. But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many accusations they have against you? But he gave them no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Why did he give them no answer? He was drawing into himself the sins of the world, the people that have sinned. When I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Oh, yes. Jesus was silent because he was like the lamb led to the slaughterhouse. He opened not his mouth, but he was taking for us our sins, and also we were being drawn into the blessed heart of Jesus Christ. Now at the festival, Passover, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom the crowd wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah? For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests and the elders had handed Jesus over, out of jealousy. Jealousy is rotten. Do not be jealous over people, because you never know what they're carrying in their hearts. Jealousy will destroy you. You have no right to be jealous today. You say, well, I want this. Listen, God loves you, and that's enough right now. Jealousy will get you nowhere in the gospel, will get you nowhere in the heart of Jesus. And you know what? It touches all of us at times. I want to be jealous of this person because this person has, or this person is, and you say, I have no idea what this person is carrying in his or her heart. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, Pilate's wife, have nothing to do with this innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him. Oh, she had a dream about Jesus, that he was innocent, do not do anything to this man. Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them, which of the two do you want me to release for you? And they said, Barabbas. You know who Barabbas is, you and I. We were released and he shed his blood for us. Pilate said to them, then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah? All of them said, let him be crucified. Then he asked, why? What evil has he done? And they shouted the more, let him be crucified. So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands. Yeah, he still is the one that Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. Oh yes, he washed his hands, but he could not wash his soul. He knew that Jesus was innocent. Not only did he know it, his wife told him the same thing. But you see, he wanted to placate the crowd. What about us? Who do we want to placate? The crowd? Oh yes, so many times we deny Jesus because we want to placate the crowd. That will get us nowhere. He took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. Not really. See to it yourselves then. The people as a whole answered, his blood be on us and on our children. That's a very sad statement. So he released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Oh, yes. He who did nothing but good was handed over to be crucified. He that healed people was handed over to be crucified. He that converted people was handed over to be crucified. And it was our sins that he bore, our sadness that he bore, our brokenness that he bore. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around Jesus. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. Jesus is the April Fool. And after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. And they put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Oh, yes, they were mocking Jesus. But yet he is the King. He is the King. He is the King of glory. He is the Lord. He is the Savior. He is all that we have. It's all about Jesus. No one can help you but Jesus, for no one but Jesus knows how. They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of his robe and put on his own clothes. Then they led him away to crucify him. Isn't this sad? The Savior of the world going to the cross out of love for you and out of love for me. Oh, yes, and he was quiet because he was drawing the world into his own heart and changing us by the grace of God. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry the Lord's cross. He was probably a black man. But you never do something for Jesus that he doesn't do something more for you. Simon's sons are called in Mark's gospel. And that means that Simon was converted and the sons were converted by the grace of the living God, by the power of the cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. This is so sick. This is so sick. He who was innocent was shedding his blood for the guilty. He who was innocent was shed the blood for the guilty. I tell you, it's time for us to know that the Lord Jesus Christ has a plan for our lives, and that they kept watch over him. Over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two bandits were crucified with Jesus, one on his right and one on his left.
Oh, yes.
And those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself if you are the Son of God. Come down from the cross." Oh, yes. Little did they know that he was bearing our wounds and carrying our infirmities and carrying our sins. In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking Jesus, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He's on the cross for the chief priests and the elders. He's on the cross for you and for me. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe in him." Oh, no. Little did they know that it was God's plan that through the cross the world would be saved. I decided to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified, the Apostle Paul says. I decided to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. If God delivers him now, if he wants to, for he said, "I am God's son," the bandits who were crucified with Jesus also taunted him in the same way. How sad. How sad. How sad. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Oh, yes, he was forsaken by the Lord for you and for me. Now he's taken the sin of the world on himself. "Why have you forsaken me?" And when some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling on Elijah." At once, one of them ran and got a sponge filled with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and gave up his spirit. Oh, yes, it was all complete now. John says, "It is finished. It is finished." He took you and me and the world and Adam and Eve into his broken heart. It is finished. And we can come to know God through the grace of God and through the blood of Jesus. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. What does that mean? That we have access into the Holy of Holies through the blood of Jesus. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. I tell you, whoever preaches about this, that the people of the Old Testament, after Jesus was crucified, came out of their tombs and walked amidst the city of Jerusalem. Now when the centurion and those with him were keeping watch over Jesus, they saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." These are the Gentiles that see because of what's happening, because of the earthquake, because of the darkness. They knew he was the Son of God. The poor Jewish elders were delighted to see Jesus die. But little do they know that through his death, he would save the world. Through his death and resurrection, he would save the world. Many women were also there, looking on from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee and had provided for him. I tell you, thank God for the women who provided for Jesus Christ. Thank God for the women who provided for the Lord. I wonder if we're providing from the Lord. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to Joseph. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of a rock. He then rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there sitting opposite the tomb. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb. Oh yes, he had promised resurrection. He had risen or raised up Lazarus. He had raised up the widow of Nain's son. Oh yes, how we need to know that resurrection comes after crucifixion, that we are under the power of the risen Christ. We are under the power of the risen Lord. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember what this impostor said while he was still alive. After 3 days I will rise again. Therefore command the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise his disciples may go and steal him away and tell the people he has been raised from the dead, and the last deception would be worse than the first." I tell you, it was no deception. He was raised from the dead. Do you know that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you today? Do you know that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me today? Oh yes. Pilate said to them, "You have your guard of soldiers. Go, make it secure as you can." So they went with the guard and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone. Chapter 28. After the Sabbath, as was the first day of the week, was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like that of lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised." Oh yes. Oh yes. Even as he said, "Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead." I tell you, during the time of Jesus, you couldn't be a woman and be a witness. You couldn't be a woman and be a witness. You couldn't be a woman and be a witness. Now, the first witnesses are Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, who go to the apostles and tell them that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. "And indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings," and they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." And while they were going, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests everything that had happened. After the priests had assembled with the elders, they devised a plan to give a large sum of money to the soldiers, telling them, "You must say that his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were still asleep. If this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money. Isn't this sad? It's all about filthy lucre. They took the money. And Jesus led them to a place in Galilee on a high mountain. And he said, "All authority has been given to me, both in heaven and on earth. Go and baptize people in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And remember that I am with you always, even till the end of time, the end of the age." The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh in the womb of the Virgin and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. He is risen, and anything can happen, because now he sits at the Father's right hand, praying for you and praying for me. Oh yes, that's what Jesus is doing. He's the great intercessor. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.